Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Now, Mark James on Sports Radio WEEI.
Final hour of the show, 617-779-7937 to get in. Back right to the phones without any further ado. Let's hit one of my favorite callers, Jim and Lowell. Hey, Jim.
Afternoon, Mark. Glad to hear we got a nice little business sponsoring your show, Lowell 5. Glad to hear it. I called to talk about Alex Cora, but I could not agree with you more on your assessment of Dustin Pedroia. I will never forget what he did in Baltimore last year. You know, good luck on your retirement, Dustin. I don't want to see him back. That's my quick comment on him.
Yeah, he gets $41 million remaining for the next 3 years. And I don't even think what you tried seeing this year when they put him out there. He couldn't even stay on the field, Jim.
It's unbelievable. But what he did in Baltimore last year was unconscionable. If I was Farrell, I would have told him to go upstairs, take your uniform off, and go back to the hotel, and I'll talk to you back there. And I would have been done with him right then and there. But on Cora, you know, I'm glad I haven't been playing no limit cash game Texas Hold'em against Alex Cora for the last 3 or 4 weeks. Because if I had been, Mark, I probably would have to get a mortgage on my house. Because even when it appears he makes a bad decision, it turns out right.
Jim, never more evident when game five in the ninth inning, after using Kimbrel, as long as he's ever been used, never had a four-out save, used him for six outs in game four, brings him back in game five in the bottom of the ninth to record a save. Back-to-back nights. I didn't think Kimbrel would be able to move after that six-out save in game four.
I think, Mark, if it had been a one-run game, maybe he would have done something differently. I know there were some comments, you don't want to lose him for the World Series, but I understand where you're coming from. But luckily they had a cushion there in case you started walking people left and right. You know, but getting back to Cora for a second, if it was up to me, I would hold him back to pitch on the road. And I called Dale Arnold and Keith about a week or so ago, it suggested that we'd be better off pitching him in Houston on the road. I feel like he would have less pressure on the road than he has in Boston, Mark. I think the pressure of pitching in front of Boston fans makes it more difficult for him to get into a pitching zone where he's, you know, concentrating on the mound. I think he does that when he's on the road. The pressure in Boston, Mark, is too much. But again, and Dodger Stadium, unless they've changed the dimensions in recent years, has always been a pitcher's ballpark.
Yeah.
Perfect for Porcello and Price, but who knows? Whatever he does, it's going to be right.
I got to tell you, Jim, the more and more I think about it, if Sale gets the hook early, you throw in Stephen Wright. In game two, I would go with Eovaldi over Price.
I don't think Stephen Wright's coming back. I heard you say that. I watched him trying to snap a pitcher in Yankee Stadium at the end of the game. He was hobbling trying to get down for the pitcher, Mark. So I hope you're right. But based on what I saw after the game with him hobbling, I don't think that's realistic. But I'm telling you, I love hearing your show. You got me dedicated to your show every Saturday.
Thank you, Jim.
Good work.
Appreciate it. Thank you very much. From one Jim, let's go to Tom in Rhode Island. What's up, Tom?
Hey, Mark. Thanks for taking the call.
Yep.
So last hour you had a caller that compared Pedroia to Jeter. I think I heard him correctly when he said their stats are almost identical. Did I hear him correctly?
Yeah. Well, they're not. They're nothing.
So they're basically Jeter's stats are double.
Yes.
Home runs and the whole deal. Not to mention his postseason comparison. Pedroia's 233, Jeter's 308. I mean, there's no comparison.
Well, that's why he got the nickname Mr. November. Yep.
Right. And I mean, the Pedroia, I mean, I enjoyed watching him as much as the next Red Sox fan, but I mean, you're talking about a slightly above average second baseman to me. versus a legendary shortstop in Jeter.
Right, and I mean, there's no doubt that Jeter's going to be in the Hall of Fame. He's going to be a first-ballot Hall of Famer.
Right.
Dustin Pedroia, I don't see it. I when I look at him, I look at a glorified Terry Pendleton. I mean, Terry Pendleton won the MVP. I mean, he did. He won the MVP, but I don't think anybody will accuse him of being a Hall of Famer.
Right, and I mean, Jeter was a part of maybe the five, six best baseball teams of all time. I mean, to throw Pedroia in with Jeter is just, I mean, I almost drove off the road when I heard it.
Right, yeah.
You know?
Yeah, no, I didn't like that comparison whatsoever. I think Pedroia is more like Ian Kinsler. I think they're very similar.
Yeah, and I mean, Jeter had the longevity. He played, I think, 20 years.
Yeah.
Pedroia's 14, whatever it is.
Right, and he missed this entire season. Jeter was part of each and every, and he was the reason why. I mean, that play in the ALCS or DS against Oakland in 2000, like where he nailed Jeremy Giambi at home play. I mean, God, there's so many plays that Jeter made.
Countless. I mean, you can go back and go through a bunch of
things. And let me just say this too, Tom. If somebody, hit one of his players, do you think Jeter would stand up and say, that wasn't me, that was them?
Well that was going to be my last point. I mean,
right.
Not in a million years. Did I ever think Pedroia would do that? But, I mean, it's safe to say Jeter would have never, ever stood at the top step of the dugout there and do something like that. I mean, I just would never have happened.
Yeah. And I can tell you this too, Tom, thanks for phone call, is that you don't announce yourself and self-proclaim as a leader. You do it through your actions. You don't do it through telling people that you are a leader. Like this year, Alex Cora called JD Martinez a leader. I agree with that. Mookie Betts is a leader. Those guys are leaders by example. Nathan Eovaldi in the playoffs has become a leader since he's been here. He just shuts up and he does his job. He doesn't talk trash before, during, or after. He just does his job. That's leadership. When I think of leadership, I would put Dustin Pedroia last. Like, I would put him slightly above Carson Smith. Okay? Literally. Like, I just don't. He's not a leader. He's not a leader. I don't know what to say. And I think the Dustin Pedroia era should be over. And if it's not, I don't know why. This team is going to win a World Series title without him. He'll get credit for his third one, but he had nothing to do with this team's success. Nothing. Stephen Fall River, real quick. Go ahead, Steve.
How are you?
Hey, Steve.
Dustin Pedroia, I guess I was an early adopter on Dustin Pedroia. 2012, when he ran his mouth at the new manager, who was correct in his assessment of Kevin Youkilis, that would be Bobby Valentine. Right then and there, he should have been suspended. He should have been suspended. He made a disgusting counter argument against his manager, set a lousy tone, did some other shenanigans that year. I was done with him then. Mm-hmm. I have one question for you. Can they trade him and not have to pick up his salary?
No. First of all, Steve, his value, dude, he can't get on the field. What team would take, like, even if the Red Sox say, like, I don't even know if the Red Sox say we'll pay 90 cents on the dollar that anybody
That's
would take him right now. He can't
and
get
I,
on the field.
I spoke out against his contract when he had it. So,
yeah.
Kudos to me.
Yeah, kudos to you on
and
that one.
Right. Take somebody out of bleacher number 9. Before I put Steven Wright in a uniform to do anything for me in a playoff game.
Why?
Because knuckleballers, you don't know what you're getting. You don't know what you're getting.
Well, but that's just it.
Like that.
But that's just it. But you know, you'll find out in the first five batters.
I don't need that. You can't have that in a playoff game. You had one other.
Well, let me ask you this. Who do you trust more coming out of the bullpen, Steven Wright or Joe Kelly? I trust Steven Wright.
No. You don't know what you're going to get.
You know what you're going to get with Joe Kelly? Inaccuracy, no control, and a chance for someone to basically shell this guy
they
just
left.
Like they've been doing since June.
The team left him Wakefield off the playoff roster a few times when he was healthy, which was a good thing. He cried a few times. These guys, before you know there's a problem and you need to put somebody up, you're already out of the game. A hit, two pitches later, you're three pitches later, it's all over before you even realize it. It's like a jet going through the sky. You see it, and you heard it already. By the time you heard it, it's already by you. That's a pitcher. We were talking about one other thing here, and it wasn't Dustin Pedroia. It was the Celtic you were talking about.
Yeah, just real quick, hurry
up. How many games have you played?
Two.
Okay. Your level of energy and outrage.
I'm concerned, Steve.
Games.
I'm concerned.
Your level of concern and your emotion is at the level if he had played 20 games.
Okay, fair enough.
He has to get back into this rhythm and have guys going by. He has to get back up to games.
Yeah, he's not there yet.
If 20 games from now you're observing even remotely what you're seeing now, you probably have a problem.
Fair enough. All right, Steve, thanks for the phone call. 617-779-7937. Mark James on EEI. All right, if anybody's out in Western Mass tomorrow, come and join me at Poor Richard's in Chicopee. I'll be out there tomorrow for the first half of the Patriots game. Bud Light and WEI at the new Poor Richard's in Chicopee. The Patriots battle the Bears Sunday at 1. You can win cool prizes. Enjoy 25-cent wing specials on Bud, Bud Light, and Bud Light Lime. Poor Richard's, 116 School Street in Chicopee. There'll be UMass football tickets to give away, Commonwealth Club access, $250 Munich House gift cards, and a pair of $50 certificates for Top Tracer Golf and a four-pack of Springfield Thunderbird tickets to give away. So tomorrow, Poor Richard's for Patriots Bears kickoff. Looking forward to that. 617-779-7937. Somebody on the text line, he said, although he agrees that Dustin Pedroia's career is over, he was once the leader of this team. Could someone tell me when that was? Because all I know it was Pedro's team, and then it was Poppy's team. I don't ever remember. I think Poppy sort of inherited it when Pedro left. I don't ever remember Pedroia being the leader of the Red Sox. Maybe you can tell me. I certainly don't. I mean, you're talking about the leader. I don't ever remember it happening, ever. Let's go to Mike in New Hampshire. What's up, Mike?
I just wanted to comment on the last caller saying that he didn't want Stephen Wright to come in.
How could you not?
Crazy.
Yeah, right.
If he's on, I would love to see him come out of the bullpen. I'd throw off either the Dodgers or the Brewers timing and then bring in someone after him with Kelly with a 100-mile-an-hour fastball. That would totally mess up the timing.
Of course it would. I don't understand why would you not want a knuckleballer coming out of the bull? I just don't get that. I'm not, you know, I mean, there's a guy that can definitely, and yeah, you'll know whether or not they have it, but you got guys like, they got Machado now. You know, they got, you know, Puig, Bellinger, I mean, Turner, they got a lineup, man. They definitely have a lineup. They got a bunch of guys who hit over 20 home runs.
Agreed. Yeah, anything to throw off their timer, and that he's got the knuckleball going, like you said, and you know within the first couple batters.
Seven guys hit over 20 home runs. Seven for the Dodgers. So,
thank you.
All right, yeah. I'm all on Steve Wright, all on that. Let's go to Jimmy and Lynn. Go ahead, Jimmy.
Hey, what's up, man? How you doing?
Good, how are you?
I'm doing pretty good. I just wanted to give a take on the Kobe Bryant subject as far as him being overrated. I really honestly couldn't agree with you more. That guy, to me, is the most overrated player in NBA history. And you raised a good point bringing up the franchise that he played with in L.A., you know, increasing his popularity or his ranking as far as greatness. I actually wanted to add something else to that as well, too. If you think about it, right, since Shaq left that team, that guy, that's where I really rank somebody's greatness. When they have nobody else, nobody great around them, what can they really do? That guy did absolutely nothing until Pau Gasol came into that team.
Yeah.
He was all about just getting his numbers and his points. You know what I'm saying? Just tucking up shots after shots, missing a lot of shots after shots. I mean, he did absolutely nothing. He what did he do?
And by the way, Jim, I'm gonna raise you on that one. I'm gonna go this. Not only that, Jim, he knew
by collecting, by taking $24.5 million a year, it was going to financially handicap the franchise.
Oh, absolutely.
And let me just give you this. In his last three seasons with the Lakers, they were 65-181. In 2013-2014, they were 27-55. The following year, 21-61. His final year, they were 17-65. And he ended up scoring 60 points in his final game on 50 shots. And Jason Whitlock said one of the greatest lines about him. Goes, why are we celebrating this? He goes, and I'm going to clean this up as much as I can. He goes, it's like watching a porn star pleasure themselves in celebrating it. That's what Jason Whitlock, he goes, we're celebrating. Like, he scored 60 points on 50 shots. He's so overrated. I don't think he's the most overrated player in NBA history. I think that's Carmelo Anthony, though.
Oh, yeah, that's totally different. I don't even put him in he's in a different class.
Right. Carmelo is like the textbook definition of overrated.
But I have one more quick point. One of the callers actually said something about if LeBron James played in Memphis, I believe.
I said that.
That is honestly the most dumbest thing I've honestly ever heard. Like, as if Cleveland, before LeBron James was there, was one of the best markets of all time. As if Cleveland, as if everybody was going Cleveland. Oh, wow, Cleveland is right up there with Boston and L.A. Are you serious? Come on, man. That's terrible, man.
If players play for less than attractive teams, they're never ever, like Dirk Nowitzki played for Dallas, he's never ever going to be thought of in the same. You could call him the European Larry Bird, but he's not Larry Bird. You know that, and I know that. Luke in a car. What's up, Luke?
Yo, two things. First, I think the Sox are going to play the Bruins in the World Series.
Why? You think the Bruins? I mean, they could, but why do you think so?
Because the Bruins have home field, and I don't see any reason why the Dodgers are winning tonight.
Yeah. Secondly, and by the way, not starting Kershaw tonight? Oh, I don't agree with that at all.
Well, we'll find out, won't we?
Yeah.
Secondly, I don't think it will matter if Sox are going free. And thirdly, the leader of the Red Sox team back then was Jason Varitek.
Yeah, Varitek was a leader. He was, but it was never Pedroia.
No, it was never Pedroia.
Never.
But he became a super jackass last year. He was never a jackass before that.
It's something happened. When Big Poppy left, you could tell last year there was a tremendous void for leadership. Tim in Attleboro. Go ahead, Tim.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, how are you?
Yeah, I'd like, Earl, you were saying you think this is probably the best team that they've had. I'd beg to differ. I think 2004 and maybe 2007. I think 2004 had a better overall pitch.
But here's the thing, Tim. Kim, as remarkable as a comeback as it was down 0-3 against the Yankees, this team won 108 games. They didn't need to go down 0-3. They basically stomped on the Yankees' throats. They did the same thing with Houston.
Right, but that Yankee team was like a history team. That team was loaded.
Well, that's true.
And the teams ain't as... I just think it's better. I mean, look at, we had Manny, we had David Ortiz, we had Pedro starting.
Schilling
can go nine. Folk was a good, doing better than what.
Tito at the he demoted Derek Lowe to the bullpen, and Derek Lowe was the one who was on the field for for the final out of every series.
Right.
Yeah.
I just say I think that team would give them a good battle, and I just figured I'd give you a call. And I think the Dodgers will give them a battle.
All right, we'll see. I will say this. If the Red Sox, and not only if, when they win the World Series over the next 10 days, they will be the greatest team in Boston Red Sox franchise history, period. 617-779-7937. All right, back to your phone, 617-779-7937. Mike in Framingham says that I can't admit that I'm wrong when I start off the show saying I was wrong. Literally those three words, Mike. Go ahead.
Okay, first off, I came in late.
Oh, okay.
I didn't hear that part.
Okay.
So sorry, I don't listen all day. But when the guy, he corrected you about LeBron James, because LeBron James, when you said that LeBron James, if he played in Memphis, first off, most people would rather play in Memphis than in Cleveland. So instead of just admitting that you're wrong with that, you spun it with, oh, well, Dirk Nowitzki. No, he didn't pick up Dirk Nowitzki. He brought up LeBron James.
What I'm saying is that Kobe got the acclaim because he was with L.A. his entire career.
Yeah, and you brought up LeBron James, didn't you?
No, I didn't bring up LeBron James. A caller brought up LeBron James.
Oh, okay. I came in late. I thought you thought LeBron James, if he played in Memphis, he wouldn't be as big. I was like, LeBron James could play in Mars. He'd still be big.
Yeah, well, this is true. This is true. Yep. You're right about that.
Oh, I stand corrected then.
Okay, Blake.
See, I can admit when I'm wrong.
Okay. Well, I admitted I was wrong about the Red Sox, so you and I both. We were both wrong. I was wrong about the Red Sox because I did not see them. I thought, especially after the Astros took game one, it was going to be I thought there's no way this thing is coming back to Boston. Well, I was right, but I didn't think the team that wouldn't be in the playoffs anymore would be the Astros. I thought it would be the Red Sox. I did not see the Red Sox winning four in a row and basically sweeping them, a five-game sweep, and winning all three games in Houston. Nobody, especially against Verlander, nobody saw that. Absolutely nobody. Tony in Bridgewater. Good old Tony. What's up, Tony?
Hey, Mark. I'm sorry. I missed the beginning of the show, too. Like, we spoke a couple weeks ago, and you were yelling, screaming, you and Dickerson. And when I got off the air, you go, call me in a couple of weeks, Tony. You know, you were blowing up about the bullpen. You know, it's the team is a team. You know what I'm saying? So this stuff with the bullpen and all this stuff, it has to do with the complete team. The bullpen stuff, it's not a bullpen anymore. Houston proved that last year.
They did.
Houston, I think, was 25th in ERA in the bullpen. They didn't even use their bullpen the last three games. They used the starter. That's the trend.
Yep.
And you know, the Sox just have it. You were right when you said the greatest team of all time. You can't compare them with any other team just, you know, for the amount of wins they have. They're going to wind up with, what, 118 wins or 119 wins?
And listen, Tony, I'll be the first to admit, yeah, was 0-4 a tougher road? Sure, because they put themselves in an 0-3 hole. That's why exactly. It was a tougher – like this Red Sox team – They couldn't have tried to go down 0-2 to this Yankees team or 0-3. Like, this team was too good. And it really convinced me that the ultimate thing was once they systematically took out Houston the way they did, and I mean just out, strategized.
Methodically.
Methodically, Tony.
And I'll tell you something right now. Like, this core guy, like, I had, you know, my reservations about, I knew he'd be a good manager because of the Latino players and so forth, you know, on the team. And this guy, he's special. Corbis, a special guy, uniting this team. It's not only a team. He's got these guys believing. And that's a big thing in sports, and especially in baseball, where you're together for 6 months traveling everywhere. And he's done an unbelievable job.
Yeah, and here's the thing. You know, sometimes when you get a player's manager or a player's coach, ultimately, it's like, you know, the guys in the locker room or clubhouse mistake kindness for weakness. With Cora, it's not like that. These guys respect him. They admire him. He's been able to get the most. I'll tell you, the
you
one
what
that
raises the stakes, Mark, you know what raises stakes? When he got rid of Hanley. He's the guy who got rid of Hanley and kept this team together.
Yeah.
From what I know, he was a pretty popular guy in the clubhouse, Hanley.
Yeah. And a lot of people, because the Red Sox weren't hitting at the time, a lot of people didn't like that decision. Neither did I.
Exactly. I didn't like it either.
And now, imagine, like, I don't care all the money in the world if you're Hanley right now, Tony. It's got to burn you inside that they're having success. Hey,
exactly.
I liked.
Look at Pierce. The guy they picked, like, Pierce and Eovaldi, they kind of, like, snuck in the back door. People were, okay, they got this guy. These are two big pieces here.
Huge. Dombrowski, listen. After four more wins, Dombrowski's going to look like an absolute genius.
Exactly.
And he already died. And to me, Eovaldi's been the MVP of this team for the postseason.
I agree.
No doubt.
My friend.
All right, Tony. Thanks, man. Appreciate it. Let's go to Jeff in Miami Beach. What's up, Jeff?
Hey, Mark. What's going on? Well, you got me. I mean, I was just chilling on a run, listening on the app and on the radio.com app. And
great app, by the way. Great app.
Right out, listening to the Red Sox talk or whatever, and, you know, just about what I expected from you and everybody else. I mean, you know, good talk and interesting. But then at the end of one of your segments, you come out with the, I'm really worried about Kyrie and sort of panic mode on that. And another caller already touched on it, but I want to elaborate a little bit. I mean, do you realize if Kyrie goes 7 for his next 11, he's shooting 42%? From three. I mean, you can't go by.
All right. No. By the way, Jeff, it's not so much the stats. He just doesn't look like he's in game shape yet.
He's not in game shape. That's my whole point. He played two games against Charlotte in the preseason, hadn't played in 7 months, then sat out against the Cavaliers in the final two games. You don't get in game shape in practice. It's a whole different feel out there. You look at the two blow-bys two blow-bys on the baseline, things like that. I mean, he gets caught, and the whole team switches on D. That's the style. So he gets caught in some cross-matches and things like that. But Kyle Lowry didn't do anything against him. There's nothing wrong with Kyrie. As a matter of fact, he's playing tonight. And Gordon Hayward isn't. And Gordon Hayward looked really good last night.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
They're going to manage.
No, and by the way, Hayward doesn't look completely at 100% either.
Maybe not 100%, but I never thought he was going to look as good as he did last night after watching the opener.
No, I know.
It's like watching two different players.
No.
That's how good he looked last night.
Well, he did look good. I like the hoop and the foul that he got there. He's coming around. And listen, these guys are going to have to gel to kick it, because remember, Hayward was only on the court for barely 5 minutes last year. So, yeah,
I agree with you. And also Kyrie, it's like, you know, he's got a lot of toys to play with. They don't need him to score 30 a game. They need him to distribute and be a real point guard. And look at all the toys he has to play with. This team's so deep. Theus, who's a good player. I mean, you know, look what he did last year. He didn't even get off the bench last night. He'll play tonight because Hayward's not playing. But they got so much depth and whatever. I don't care what the result was last night. They're head and shoulders better than Toronto. I mean,
I don't know about that, Jeff. Listen, that Toronto team looked really good with Kawhi Leonard.
Well, you think you're going to get that out of Ibaka every night? Come
no,
on,
no, you're not. But you think you're going to, like you said about Lowry. Hey, listen, hey, Jeff, they also got a guy by the name of Danny Green who can shoot the hell out of the three.
Yeah, Danny Green. Listen, this Toronto team, I believe, is better than last year's Toronto team. But I think the Celtics back and forth and up and down the lineup, where if it came to a series, I think Toronto may get a game at home.
Well, here's where nobody can mess with the Celtics. Their depth. When you got the BWA, the benches with attitude, when you got guys like Terry Rozier, Marcus Smart, Aaron Baines, and Morris coming off the bench, that's a tough team to be able to match with. And that bench the Celtics have is sick. Ryan in New Hampshire, you're up next. What's up, Ryan?
Hey, how's it going, guys? So what I was really just concerned with, kind of looking ahead past this season for the Red Sox, is obviously we're losing some people, and obviously Dustin's not the same. I don't really see him ever really being anywhere remotely close to where he was. There's a lot of good talent out there. What would be your top choices to fill those gaps with the payroll?
I mean, they don't have a lot of options, Ryan. They're already at the luxury threshold. They've got to pay, you know, Mookie Betts is going to be, you know, he just won that arbitration case. He's going to be owed a big contract. How about coming up after next season? Now, we'll see how good he is. After next season, Chris Sale is a free agent. You got to take care of him. You can't pay every guy $30 million, you know.
Oh, yeah. No, I was just kind of looking around, and I was looking at the payroll the other night, and I'm just like, wow, like, this year we're doing really great, but there's a lot of holes that are out there that I don't know how we're going to fill.
Here's the thing. Don't hold your breath, Ryan, on the Red Sox being major players in the offseason. Just don't. I don't see them, because this team is maxed out. They have the highest of $243 million payroll.
Mm-hmm.
They're maxed out, right, man? I mean, it's like, what are you going to get? You're not going to add Manny Machado. You're not going to add Bryce Harper. Let the Yankees can do that. The Red Sox right now, they're going to have to maneuver with what they've got. And this team is in a good position. And, you know, hopefully next year, some guys who weren't healthy will be healthier next. I mean, Carson Smith, maybe he can, you know, actually like earn a check once in a while.
No, you're right. And I mean, the main thing is that bullpen arms comes to mind. You know, with anybody that we're going to lose, but all the people that are out there are going to cost a big penny. But it's interesting how we kind of came together to get these fillers like here.
I mean, here's the thing. The Red Sox didn't have to pay anything for Eovaldi and Pierce. And look at how much that they've meant to this team.
Yeah.
Look at what they meant.
Man.
Yeah, I mean, it's like...
It's amazing.
Yeah, it really is.
It's been a really fun season to watch, but mostly because all these people that you wouldn't expect to step up, it's this guy one night, and then it's the other guy the other night.
Yeah.
And you would never have expected that, but, yeah, I don't know, just kind of
going to snowball in there. But, yeah, you guys have a good day. I love the show.
Keep all right, thanks. I will.
You're going to be okay if you're wrong. No worries.
Oh, no, I'll be okay. All right. Yeah. The Red Sox payroll is $50 million more than the Yankees. 5-0. That's a lot of money. So, the next team, the San Francisco Giants, at $23 million less that they paid than the Red. Now, did the Red Sox get a return on investment? Of course. They're in the World Series. They're going to win it now. Like, I don't see this team losing the World Series to whoever they play, whether it's the Dodgers. Now, the Dodgers were third. They had about $30 million less than the Red Sox. But, I mean, if you're outspending the Dodgers and you're outspending the Yankees by $50 million, you don't have a lot of room to go out and procure some of these big-time free agents. You just don't, you know? And I think when you look, like, you're going to have to sort of get very creative, which is what Dave Dombrowski did by trading for Pierce and Eovaldi. All right, this guy's been killing me on Twitter for all the comments that me and Dickerson made about the bullpen, the Red Sox bullpen, and I admitted I was wrong. So you heard me say I was wrong, Dan. You were right. So go ahead and gloat.
Well, this is the wrong Dan.
Oh, that. Wrong Dan. All right, Dan in a car. There's a lot of Dan in a car. Different Dan. Yeah. Go ahead, Dan.
I'll tell you what. I went to the Providence College exhibition basketball game last night. We were kibitzing at halftime, and my cousin came up with this unique idea for the World Series. I want to run it by you, see what you think. When the Sox get to the National League ballpark, he was suggesting
to put Mookie at second base.
Yes, correct.
It's
the right.
Yeah, I mean you got to have both bats in the lineup, and you know now JBJ. My thing is this: do you trust JBJ to continue to have those big hits in the World Series? See, I think JBJ has sort of already peaked in the league in the ALCS. I don't know if he's going to be able to replicate that performance. I don't think he's. I just don't know if he's going to be able to do that.
He's a streaky guy.
He's very streaky, and like you know, let's be real. Like he was 3-for-15, so he like it's not like this guy like really tore. But his three hits were huge. I mean, he had 9 RBIs, all with 2 outs. It's an interesting scenario. It's like my thing is moreover too. What about when the Red Sox are hosting the games? Do you put Rafael Devers at DH? I want his bat in that lineup. If you don't want him at third, that's fine, but I want his bat in the lineup.
So if you put Devers at DH, you put Martinez on right and sit Bradley down?
Yes.
I don't know about that. I think preventing runs is just as important in these series as scoring runs.
Okay, fair enough. So let me just say this. You put Mookie in center. And then you keep Benintendi in left, and you put JD in right. What's wrong with that?
JD just can't cover the ground in right field at home.
Nah,
he can't cover the ground that Best can cover.
Okay, fair enough. I mean, listen. You know what these are? These are rich people problems.
They certainly are.
Like these are good problems to have.
Yeah, but I think that's when you brought that up, I said it shocked me for a second. Then I started thinking about it, and I said, well, you got Kinsler and you got Holt as second baseman. Neither one. I mean, Kinsler had a decent good game, and he's great defensively. Holt, you don't really know what you're going to get from. You know what you're going to get from Betts, but how does that translate into defense? When Betts is playing second, he hasn't played there in a long time. But that play he made in right field the other night when he threw Kent on second base, that was an infielder's play. And that was just a great instinctive play. I think you could handle it, and you keep the good bats in the lineup.
Well, here's the thing about Mookie. Mookie has 2 gold gloves, and I think JBJ is actually a better fielder than Mookie.
Oh, I do too.
I mean, I'm just saying, like, just because you don't have the goal, like JBJ with his glove, I'm not saying he's a better player. We know that's not the case. As a defensive outfielder, he's a better player than Mookie, plain simple. All right, before we go, listen, Dan, I appreciate it. I want to get Rob Bradford in here real quick. Bradfo Show is coming up next with Alex Reamer. Bradfo, I asked you last Sunday, who was your most unlikely hero?
And I'm trying to remember what you said. Who was your most unlikely hero last Sunday?
I have no idea. I mean, you expect me to remember last Sunday? Are
yes.
you kidding me?
Yes,
Are
I do.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
I don't remember what happened like 3 days ago.
Okay. It's by the way, are you feeling better?
Yeah. Okay, I feel spry.
Okay, good.
Why? Did it sound really bad when I was on the air? Everyone
no, but
said
you,
it did.
You were a little under the weather,
oh,
bro.
I was a lot under the weather.
Yeah, and obviously, I'm sure those three wins, you know, made you feel a little bit better.
I don't care. Okay. I really don't care about the three wins. I care about seeing my family. I care about what's good for business.
Yep.
And I'm not going to lie to you, Red Sox winning is good for business because it's another week of really, really good Patriots.
Absolutely.
And good callers and good ratings, right?
There you go. Absolutely.
High tides lift all boats, my friend.
Yeah, and you and Alex Reamer will maintain that coming up next.
The tide couldn't be higher right now.
That's right, man. All right, 3-6. 3-6? Is that correct? Okay, 3-6. Stay tuned. Brad Foe Show, Alex Reamer. Alex Reamer will update you on the ratings of Boston Sports Tonight as well. He's a big fan of that show. All that coming up. I appreciate all your phone calls. John Anderson, you did a great job. I had my doubts about you, but you did a really good job.
I'm glad we recovered after last week.
Yes, we definitely did. All right, stay tuned next for Brad Foe and Reamer right here on WEEI.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.